You might notice I have a gold tie on. It's not because Carol gave this to me, because it was Dick Spence's. It's not because the gold reminds me of heaven's streets. It's because of the gold of Purdue basketball. Now, we have not had much to cheer about the last 2 years. And I appreciate if you're an IU fan, thanking your team for not showing up yesterday and making it very easy on us. But it's all about Purdue and their victory over those wonderful, well, let's call them horrible, Indiana Hoosiers. Speaking on prayer, this is part two. I've already mentioned to some of you who skipped last week that you have to get part one to fully appreciate this message. But let me review quickly. Prayer is a wonderful gift from God. It's a truly special gift that it is my prayer you do not take it lightly, that you do not take it just, just something that is so repetitious that it has no meaning. When you pray, you get to go to the throne of Almighty God, the one who spoke this world in existence. You get to have a talk with God. You can take your request and petitions to Him. No matter if you think they're light, no matter if you think they're insignificant, you can still take them to God in prayer. And of course, it is also my prayer that you don't just take the big stuff to God. You don't just say, I'll pray when it gets hard. I'll pray when my friend has cancer. But you pray daily to God. Be sure and pray. I mentioned this from 1 Timothy 2:1 on the message last week. The Message Bible says, the first thing I want you to do is pray. Pray every way you know how for everyone you know. Pray, pray, pray. It's encouraging to pray. It's also encouraging to pray for someone. It's encouraging to pray with someone. And it's encouraging to the person who knows they are being prayed for. Sue Boris out here has told us numerous times, thank you, thank you, thank you for prayers. Thank you. It's been wonderful to know the people of Good Shepherd Baptist Church have been praying for me as I go through this cancer. And we'll do the same for you as well. It's wonderful to have prayer as a means to talk with God. Last week's verse, and you don't need to turn there, it was Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he, Jesus Christ, ever lives to make intercession for you and I. It goes on to say there's one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. He's able to save you and I. Listen, folks, your salvation is not based upon what you do. It's based upon what he's done. Jesus Christ dying for you and being rose again that third time. Day. What a wonderful day that is. And that word intercede there, like I mentioned last week, it's great to know that someone's praying for you, but it's also great to know Jesus Christ, the one who died for you, prays for you. He's pleading for you. He's continuously praying for you. going to God the Father on your behalf. Even before you ask your request, He knows firsthand. He's with you. And as the man mentioned last week, and I can't remember his name, but he said this, if you could hear the Lord praying for you nearby, you would not fear 1,000 enemies. You wouldn't fear that doctor's visit this week. You wouldn't fear that phone call. You wouldn't fear life because Jesus Christ is on your side. Our gracious Heavenly Father, bless your word today and use it as you will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've had the experience of someone praying for you, someone praying with you, someone right beside you praying, bringing your prayer request to God's throne, I invite you now to imagine Jesus doing exactly that. Picture yourself kneeling by Jesus' throne. Picture yourself Him praying these words. Beginning in verse 1, picture Jesus. Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou with thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested my name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and thou have kept thy word. Now they have known all that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from them, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Jesus Christ praying this prayer of intercession on your behalf. Look at verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, listen, this is for you, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. We have the Bible. He's mentioning you by name. We are the ones who have believed on Jesus Christ through the Word of God. Verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. This is future. We're going to be with Jesus as Jesus is. Behold his glory. The glory that the Father gave the Son. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. For these few moments this morning, I could break this down and spend weeks and weeks, you know me, but I'm not going to do that. We're going to just finish this up today. But Jesus prays for three basic things here, and I could go on and on about each and every one, but I'm not for time's sake. They are protection, your protection, your sanctification, and your oneness. Protection, sanctification, and oneness. I've mentioned this illustration before, but I believe it fits here again, so I'm going to restate it. The early Native Americans had a practice of training young men. On the night of the boy's 13th birthday, after they had been taught by their fathers how to hunt, how to scout, how to fish, he was put to one final test. He was placed out in a very dense forest, and he was going to spend the night entirely alone. And he would be blindfolded. Several miles away from his family. When he would take off the blindfold, he would be in the midst of thick woods. And you can imagine, just turning 13, he was terrified. Every time a twig would snap, he'd visualize a wild animal ready to pounce on him. After what seemed like an eternity, dawn would break. The first rays of sunlight would enter into the forest. Looking around, he would see flowers and trees and the outline of the path. Then, to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was his father. He had been there all night long, protecting his son. Jesus' first prayer for you this morning is a prayer of protection. Unlike that young boy, we have the benefit of knowing in advance that our Father in heaven is there to protect us. Although just like the young boy, we don't see him guarding us. Jesus says, protect him. Protect him in your name. You have given me these people, so they may be one as we are one. Protect them from the evil one. It's better translated, guard there. Just like the father was guarding his son from wild creatures, our Father guards us on Jesus' prayer for us to be safe. Against what are we being protected? Jesus says, protect them from the evil one. Protect them from the temptation, the opposition, the persecution, etc. He knew we would be facing such things, even a couple of thousand years down the road. But he doesn't ask that we be removed from these things. We often pray that, though, don't we? Remove this from me. Jesus says, I don't ask that you take them out of the world. But while they're there, protect and guard them. Even a better translation in the Greek would be preserve them. Jesus wants us to be preserved while we're here in the world. Jesus' prayer is a protection prayer that the disciples would remain in and be shaped in the revelation of God Almighty that they received through Jesus Christ. I am no more in the world, he said in verse 11. But they're still in the world. I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one. Father, no matter what they face in the world, no matter how the evil attacks them, help them to remain in me. That's my theme this year, abiding in Christ, remaining in Christ. Preserve them, protect them, guard them. I saw this past week. God works the night shift, not you. Don't spend another sleepless night trying to figure out all your problems and issue. Trust that the Lord is working it out. Rest in His arms. He's never asleep. Aren't you glad God doesn't sleep? Jesus Christ prays for our protection. Secondly, He prays for our sanctification. Sanctification utterly means to be made holy, to be set apart for using by God, consecrated in His service, for service. It has to do with the purposes of God Almighty. Jesus is praying that we should be set apart for the purpose He's given us, sending us out into the world. We're in the world, but we do not belong to the world. Being holy, sanctified, consecrated means that we belong to God and He set us apart for a purpose. Jesus said, consecrate them for the purpose you have for them. And this is all mirroring what Christ did. Jesus asking God to do for His disciples and for you and I what He did for Himself. He set Christ apart for God's work in the world. Just as God has set us apart to do a mission for Him in this world. And Jesus is asking that same prayer for us. As you have sent them into the world, so I have sent them into the world, Jesus prays. Sanctification, folks, is not living a clean, perfect life. It's living an obedient life to God. The attractions of the world, the weakness of the flesh, the onslaught of the devil, those are daily battles that you and I face. It involves a purifying of our whole life and committing it to the service of God. In the Old Testament, it usually conveyed the idea of making something sacred, usually by burning a sacrifice. It does not mean to purify as to purify from sin here. Jesus purified Himself. He said, sanctify myself. Well, He didn't have any sin. He was pure and holy. Sanctification is about yielding and surrendering your entire life to God. Being set apart does not mean we're stored away. It means we're set apart in the world, but we're not of the world. We're set apart for a purpose of God, to be yielding our life to Him, to surrender to Him. And so Jesus is praying for sanctification. He's praying for protection. And thirdly, He's praying for unity. Unity within the body of Christ. It doesn't mean that we're going to agree on every single doctrine. I read quite a bit. I listen to quite a bit of people. I don't know if there's anybody out there I agree 100% with. But that doesn't mean we can't be unified. It doesn't also mean that there's only one denomination. But it does mean that we're united in confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That Jesus Christ is the one and only way to heaven. The importance of oneness and unity is emphasized over and over again in His prayer. Look at this down in verse 11 again. I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep or protect through thine own name. Look down at verse 20. Neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest I have given them, that they may be one even as I are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. This is not a unity that we can achieve on our own. Our own efforts will not make us unified. Our unity emerges as a result of us remaining in Jesus Christ and abiding in Him. By focusing our life on Him, yielding and surrendering to Him. A.W. Tozer, in the book, The Pursuit of God, asks, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos, all tuned to the same fork, are automatically tuned to each other? All 100 pianos tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other. They're of one accord by being tuned, not to each other. They're not tuned to other pianos, they're tuned to the same fork. Same with us. We're not in tune to one another. We're in tune to God Almighty. And so as we individually bow down before Him, we are setting a standard by saying, I am in tune with Christ. And so if I am in tune with Christ, I'm going to be closer to my fellow believers who are also in tune with Christ. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. The purpose of Jesus' prayer, His prayer for protection, sanctification, and unity, is so that we would be prepared for when we're sent out into the world. Jesus doesn't ask the Father to preserve merely to wait until Jesus comes again. But that's what many believers do. Yeah, I'm saved and I'm just waiting for His return. No, you're saved to be set apart to do something for Christ, to be a witness for Him. We are preserved and we're protected. We're sanctified so that we can continue Jesus' work in a dark world. For we are in the world even if we're not of the world. And while here, there's something for each and every one of us to be doing. Jesus' work was to reveal the character of God, to show His love for the world, and to live out this love for the sake of everyone who believes in Him. Jesus did this by dying on the cross for you and I. Just as Jesus' sole purpose and mission was to be set apart, He's saying the disciples, the believers, are to be set apart, to be made holy for God's work in the world. And Jesus was able to do this. And unity is the key. Our witness, our being consecrated for God's work, shows a dying outside world, hey, there's something different about those people. They're not like other people in the world. We have a mission. We're to share Jesus Christ and the wonderful gospel. And that's Jesus' prayer. We've been commissioned to do that. And the reason unity is so crucial to witness is because the outside world sees us and says, that has to be God at work. Because no human effort could accomplish it apart from some almighty being helping them. The love that we're to show the world is to mirror the love Jesus Christ shows in us. Love for one another. A costly love. Jesus Christ died for us. And I declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Verse 26 of John 17. During World War II, Hitler commanded all religious groups to unite so that he could control them. Among the brethren assemblies, half complied, half refused. Those who went along with the order had a much easier time. Those who did not faced harsh persecutions. In almost every family of those who resisted, someone died in a concentration camp. When the war was over, there was a lot of feelings of bitterness that ran deep in these groups, and there was much tension. Finally, they decided that the situation had to be healed. Leaders from each group met at a quiet retreat. For several days, each person spent time in prayer, examining his own heart in the light of Christ's commandments. Then they came together. Francis Schaeffer, who told of the incident, asked a friend who was there, "What did you do then?" The gentleman replied, "We were just one." As they confessed their hostility and their bitterness to God, and they yielded to his control, the Holy Spirit created a spirit of unity among all the believers. Love filled their hearts, and it dissolved their hatred. When love prevails among believers, especially in times of strong disagreement, it presents to the world the mark of a true follower of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're called to do. Folks, prayer is a gift. Don't neglect it. Don't take it for granted. Prayer's a gift. It's great to know someone's praying for you. It's great to know that you're taking someone's name to God in prayer. It's great to pray with somebody. But it's even greater to know the Savior of the world cares for you, He loves you, and He's praying for you. He's praying for me. He's praying for this church to show the world, to show Lafayette, Indiana, that believers can come together and unite and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone is praying for you. Let's all stand, head bowed, eyes closed.